Begin the current daf in Sefetz Tmur daf Yud Alef. Begin 10 lines down at the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where we had a machlekes between Bar Pada and Rabbi Yechanan, which related to the halacha of our Mishnah regarding the status of an uber. Can one sanctify just the fetus and not the mother animal? Does it have its own distinct sanctity? Bar Pada held not, Rabbi Yechanan held yes. So the Gemara continues and says, let's say their machlekes is a machlekes tanoim in the following braisa. The braisa says, they both start off with the same halacha of Hashecher es achatas. Someone slaughters a karmachatas. Umatzaba ben arbachai. And inside the womb of that chatas, after they slaughtered him, they're opening up the animal, they find a live 4-month-old fetus. Now, the reason why we pick specifically 4 months, like Taisa says, because it was 5 months by behemoth daka, by small livestock. According to some opinions, Reb Meir wouldn't be permitted with the slaughtering of his mother. And they were talking about specifically that this animal is going to be permitted to consume. Now, however, regarding its status of consumption, that we have two different braises. Ketani Chad, the one braise says, so ein nechelas, so although it gets permitted with the slaughtering of the mother, but ein nechelas el zichri kuhuna, it can only be eaten for the male kahanim, the ein nechelas el lefin menaklam, it can only be eaten within the curtains of the azara, the ein nechelas el yamechad, it can only be eaten for one day, essentially saying that the fetus has the same status as the mother as a carbon chattis with all its limitations. Now, v'tan yidach, we learn another braisa regarding that same case that says, no, nechalas l'chaladim can be eaten by anybody. V'nechalas b'chal makom, it can be eaten anywhere. And the Girsa changes the next three words and says that v'nechalas l'oilim, it can be eaten forever. It's not limited for just one day. So, essentially what we're seeing from over here is that, and the Gemara assumes now when it says, my love tanoihi, isn't it a machlekes tanoim? The Gemara assumes we're talking about when someone had designated a pregnant animal to be a carbon chatas. Now, because if we think that we're talking about that they had designated an unpregnant animal and then became impregnated after it was sanctified, there everyone would agree and hold that since the sanctity of the child is coming because it's the child of the mother, so obviously then the child at this point would be considered chulin, would not have the status of a karmach chatas, because vladi kadshim, a child of a kadshim, behaviyasin hin kadoshim, they only become sanctified when they become havaya, which is when they're born. And now it was never born, it was found inside the womb of the mother. So, since we have these two different opinions, we're assuming that we're talking about a case of when they were mafresh, a behemoth muberes, and the machlekes is the same machlekes as Bar Pada and Rabbi Yechanan. And that is the Tana of the first brayse, the Marasava, he held Kedusha Chala Alubaran. That is like Rabbi Yechanan had explained in the previous daf, that meaning the sanctity takes effect on the fetus on its own rights. And therefore, when he's sanctifying this pregnant animal, I want this to be a chatas, their mother has one sanctity and the child has its own sanctity, and therefore, yes, that's why the sanctity will take effect right then. And even when it's a 4 month old and it's found it was never born, it's not like Vladi Kaddishim, it's not getting its sanctity because it's the child of this mother. When the person sanctified this pregnant animal, there was a separate designation of sanctification on the child. So that's why that Brisa says it has the limitations of a karma chattis. Whereas a marasava in kedusha chala alubarn. But the time the second Brisa said that no, there's no sanctity that takes effect separately, distinct from the sanctity of its mother on the fetus, and rather it's like other vladi kadoshim, which its sanctity is only b'havias when it's born, and since it wasn't born yet, therefore that holds like the opinion of Bar Pada, therefore it doesn't take effect yet. Now the reason why we spoke specifically that the fetus that was found inside was alive is telling us the chiddush that we don't say that, oh, since it's alive, so that should be considered havayasai, its existence, and that even according to the Tanna, the second braisa, it should be sanctified because of the sanctity of its mother, like other vladi kachim, which are sanctified by havayasin. That's what the braisa is saying, that no, since ultimately it didn't complete its full term, so it's not considered havayasai, and it was never born, so therefore, it's not going to have the limitation of a karmachatas. So you see that their machlikis is the machlikis of Yechon and Bapada, if the uber could have a separate designation of a sanctity than from its mother. So which Gemara says, Loi, no. Truthfully, I could tell you, when a person would separate and designate a pregnant animal to be a karmachatas, that's not the case that they're discussing over here. Rather, they're discussing a case when it was an animal of kachim that after its designation as a chatas became pregnant. And Hanitanoi Bahokim Efagi, what they're disagreeing about is the following idea. The Maris of the time, the second Braisa held, Vladis Kaddishim Bavayasinhin Kaddishim, which we had been explaining up until now, we were assuming everyone holds like that, that the time of the second Braisa holds that a child of a Kaddishim, when do they become sanctified? When they're born, but not when they're a fetus in the mother's womb. Now, the terminology of Havayasin in Kedoshim, the reason why we say Havayasin is that's the terminology of the Pasuk, where that's where actually we learn out the sanctity of a vlad, of a carbon. The Pasuk says in Devarim Yudbeis, Rak Kedoshech Asheyiulach, which the Gemara says, what is Asheyiulach? That refers to the vlad, as the Gemara says in the second parak of Mecheres, Tavidalim Abeis. So when we say Havayasin in their existence, it means regarding when they're born. So therefore, that's why the Tan, the second price, says, oh, if you, it was never born, so it doesn't have the sanctity of the Karban Chatas, of its mother. But a Maris of the Tan, the first price, held no Vladi Kachin b'me'iman hen Gedoshim. The child of a Karban becomes sanctified in the womb already. And therefore, even if you found it in the womb, it's going to have the sanctity and therefore the limitations of a Karban Chatas. So there is no Raya that they're disputing the Machlekes, Rabbi Yechon, Rapa, they're talking about not a case of when you sanctified it, to have the fetus a separate sanctity. It was born later. It's for sure Vlad Kachim. Only question is, what's the status of Vlad Kachim? Or Vibaisim, if you want, you could say that actually Chad Tanhu, that actually the Tana of both Brises is one Tana, and that everyone agrees, like Rabbi Yechonon, that the sanctity will take effect on the fetus individually, and therefore will take effect right away. But, so well, why do the two Brises have different halachas? Because one of these brises, the one that says that actually the fetus will not have its sanctity, which is the time of the second brisa, is b'makdish behemah v'ach kach nesaber. It's talking about where they sanctified the animal and only subsequently did it become pregnant. That's vladis kachim. Yeah, that's what we said about havayasin hen kedushim. They only become sanctified when they're born. But v'chad minhain, the first brisa, the one that said that it's actually the fetus is going to be sanctified right away, and that it's not like vladis kadoshim, because ubelav yerchim, it's considered distinct from its mother, that shekdishim uberes. When you sanctified it, it was already pregnant, so the sanctification took distinctly on the child and the mother, so that's like Rabbi Yechonon. So we can say actually both brisa are like Rabbi Yechonon, and again, we don't have any proof that their machlegis tanoim is the same machlegis bar pada and Rabbi Yechonon. Now the Gemara, as in the previous stuff, continues asking on the opinion of Bar Pada, who holds that you cannot create a distinct designation of sanctity on the fetus of an animal. Says the Gemara, Tanya learned, which is a Mishnah later on, the Yudzayin Amud Aleph, that the Gemara says, Rebbe Lazo, I mean, he says, Klayim, regarding an animal that's a mixed breed, Betrefo, has a mortal defect. The Yitzidayvin was born through Caesarea, not through the normal birth canal, but through the stomach of the animal was taken out. Or Tumtum has no signs of gender. Vandreganus has both signs of gender. Says the Mishnah, likudation, so these animals, they're not sanctified to be a carbon, for the Mekdishin, and neither do they cause sanctification of a carbon. Now, Vamashmul, he explained what that means. Likudation, when we say it's not going to have the sanctity, it's even bitmura, meaning to say, if these animals that we just described, which have flaws relating to them, and they were chulin, and the person attempted to make a tmura from a kachim onto these animals, they're not going to take effect. And the chiddush is even tmura, where tmura takes effect even on pre-blemished animals, these types are not going to take effect. Of course, for sure, if one would try to sanctify them themselves, for sure it's not going to take effect. But even for Tamur, which normally it would take effect, even in Bali Mum Kavuan, here, these animals, it's not going to take effect. And when the Mishnah said, V'loim Akdishin, that they're not going to cause other things to be sanctified, meant also Lassus Tamura, which means to say that if these types of animals, through Caesarean, Trefa, all these, if they're sanctified, and then one tries to take a Chulna animal and do Tamur with them, it's not going to make that other animal into tomorrow. Now, the time to learn the Bryce, and the Gear says, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, how do you ever have that these types of animals are sanctified to say that you can't make another animal tomorrow on them? As he says, Ma'achar Shein Kedoshin, since we're saying that these animals never have a physical sanctity at all, so Heich Makdishin, where would you say that they could go ahead and sanctify something else to make a tomorrow out of them that you're saying it's not going to work, but it's a piece of wood? Of course it cannot be Makdish. What do you have to even say that for? So that says, Rebbe, you can't find a situation where they will be sanctified, that the Mishnah had to tell us that, but you can't make something else tamura on them. Ella, in the following cases, b'makdish behema, someone sanctified a regular animal, v'achekach nitfa, and subsequently this animal became a trefa. So it is sanctified because its sanctity came before it was blemished. That's what's saying, but now that it's a trefa, you can't make a tamura another animal on it. Or in the other case, b'makdish vlad, where someone sanctified the child when there was a fetus in the mother's womb, where the sanctity took effect right away, and this is where the question is going to be on Bapada from, and then the Yotze Derech Doivin, then when it was born, it came out through Caesarean. And that's what we have to say, that even though they're sanctified, but the Ein Makdishin, they cannot sanctify other things through a Tamur because there's a flaw in them. Now, regarding the other cases, the Gemara later in the Yud Zayin and Alpha explains those other cases, but regarding these two cases, that's how you'd have to qualify them. But one thing says the Gemara, Amal Kadosh Vlad, you see the way Rebbe's qualifying it is that the fetus gets a sanctity. It's just that now that it's born through cesarean, you can't do Tamur with it. But you see, not like Bapada. So Ami, they said, you're right. And this is where they revise the opinion of Bapada that we had assumed up until now from the previous stuff. Bitam b'meid tamima, an unblemished fetus and an unblemished mother. Afilu b'pada nami moedet kadosh. You're right. Even b'pada agrees that really, as we're proving, the sanctity could take effect on the fetus itself. Loi nechleku, they didn't have their disagreement. Ela bitam b'meid balas mum. Only if it's an unblemished fetus in the womb of a blemished mother. B'pada saba he held kiven the imel lemekdishin kadosh the gov. Since the mother cannot have a physical sanctity because it's a blemished animal, so hunami lekadosh. So the fetus cannot be better than the mother if you want to sanctify just it, and therefore there it's not going to be able to have physical sanctity. He held that no, the mother and the child like two different animals. The mother can't sanctify, but the fetus could be sanctified. And therefore it's not difficult mapada because that's talking about a tamba mei tamima. He's talking about tamba mei balas mum. Now, Lishna Achrina, a different version, was just asking on the end of the previous Tanoik statement, said of a klayim, but regarding a mixed breed, v'tumtum, and if it doesn't have any sign of gender, v'androgynous has both signs of the genders, so i'atamaitzi, there also you're not going to find, which we have to say, what's the chiddush that you cannot be magdishin, they don't have a sanctity in the first place. So that says over there, elabavladi kadishim, only if it's a child of a carbon, which is that the animal after it was sanctified, became pregnant with these type of animals. So that's where it's going to be sanctified through the dint of the mother, through a blood decussion. And that's where we have to say that, but you're not going to be able to make tumur with this type of animal. And points out the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda. It's going like Rabbi Yehuda, Shehoya Oimer, that he said that in general, Havlad Oisa Tumura. That being a Vlad Tumura, you would be able to make, a Vlad Kachem, you would be able to make Tumura. But these Vlad Dikachem, you can't make Tumura because they're defective with Klaim, Tumtum, and Dregis, they don't work for Karbanos. But one thing says the Gemara that you see that there's a sanctity in the fetus from the fact, as we explained from the first part of the statement from Rebbe, that he said in general that one could sanctify the fetus. It's just a problem when it comes out of through cesarean. Halan hu dulei kadosh gufayu. Oh, that's where you're not going to be able to have that it's going to be sanctified to go ahead and make to sanctify other things to make a tamura. Aval ubar nacherim, but other fetuses, which doesn't come out through cesarean, Kiddushin, they are sanctified with initial sanctity and the physical sanctity, and then you can make a tamura. So you see, not like Bapada. Now, and you can't answer, says Rashi, that no, maybe you're right, it has a sanctity, but it's a monetary sanctity that you would have if it wasn't these type of cases. No, because of a monetary sanctity, you wouldn't be able to make tamura anyway, because it's only when it comes out it wouldn't make a tamura even if it came out through a natural birth, because tamura is only when it has physical sanctity. So you see, not like Bapada. And this is the same as the first version, it's just saying it from the other half of the Tanakh statement. That like we said in the first version, you're right, Tamba made Tamima, an unblemished animal in the womb of an unblemished mother, the Rakal Kaddish Guf. Everyone agrees that it's going to have a physical sanctity. And we keep pleading, what's the machlik? It's been made balas mum in the womb of a blemished mother. The Bapada Saba he held, given the Ime and the Girsa takes of the word Nami. Loi Kaddish Gufa, where the mother doesn't have physical sanctity, say, Ihu Nami loi Kaddish Elad Mei. So therefore, the fetus, the most you could go ahead and create in it, is also going to be a monetary sanctity, not a physical sanctity. The fetus is not considered a thigh, an extension, another limb of the mother. So even though the mother, you can't sanctify her body because she's a blemished animal. But the fetus could be, and therefore that's the machlokes, and therefore it's not difficult from that Tanoik statement on the Mishnah of Yud Zayin, because that's talking about a case of a tamba made tamima. That Barpad agrees to, because machlokes was only regarding a balmum. The Mishnah said that Amar Biyisi said to support his opinion in his disagreement with the Chachamim, he says, wait, he said regarding when you're trying to do a Varen B'Shleimim, he says that then Tamur could take effect. And he said, V'kutvalei B'mukdashin, you find by initial sanctification, when someone says this leg of this animal should be an Oila, the whole animal comes an Oila. So therefore he says the same thing as those when you have an intact Kajim, and that you say it should be a tamura on the leg of this chulun animal, that there also the sanctification of a tamura, although he's saying on one limb, will take effect in the whole animal, and therefore will be behema bevehema, and therefore they will take effect. Now, regarding this actual halacha that he's supporting from, the Gemara Ketiz Amud Beis actually says that halacha itself is a machloikis. Tanabam Aluna Brais, it's just that Rabbi Yossi and his dispute in our Mishnah, which as we explained the previous daf, like that would be like Reb Shimon, who he agrees to the premise of this primary halacha, but he disagrees regarding Temura, but that's what Rabbi Yossi was telling him, and that was saying that even that halacha itself is up for dispute. The first opinion says, one would think that if someone says that the leg of this animal should be an oila, tehekula oila, that the whole animal should be an oila, which this is those who dispute Rabbi Yossi, Tamalama, that's the pasuk says, no, it says, kala sheyitnu mimenu l'Hashem yekodesh. Whatever he gives from it to Hashem will be holy. Sounds like mimenu Hashem. From it will be for Hashem. V'lekula l'Hashem. But not all of it will be for Hashem. So if you sanctify just one limb, so then only that will be sanctified for Hashem. Now, yochel teitz l'chul, you would think, okay, then it actually becomes deconsecrated because you don't have the whole animal being sanctified. Tamalami yekodesh. No, it says it will be holy, that limb. Now, since that limb is holy, so then you can't go ahead and slaughter this animal for the utility of chulin because part of it is hektish and you can't slaughter bachutz. So, okay, so it says this opinion. So, what do? Timachu l'tzarchi eilis. You sell this animal for the utility of someone using it as a carbon eila. V'demechulin, and the money he gets from the buyer is unconsecrated. Chutz midmei evreshaba, except for the monetary value of that limb which he had already sanctified. That money he can't take because that was sanctified and he can't sell it because it's not his, it's hektish. That's the Rimei Rabbi Yehuda. So they dispute the halacha of Rabbi Yossi. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, they say, and that's Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, and the Tanakam was also Rabbi Shimon, he just disputes him on the second half of Temura. They say, Minayin lo'ayim ragla shel zu oila shekula oila. How do you know? No. That if someone says the leg of this animal should be an oila, actually the whole animal is an oila. Because it says in the Pasuk, kala sheyitn men la'Hashem. It says, whatever he gives, whatever he gives from it will be to Hashem. So that's what it says. Now, when it says it will be holy, that's l'rabba, says cool, that's coming to include all of it. That not like the first opinions that they said that yikudish just means the limb will be holy. That they say you know from imenu l'Hashem. It says yir that's coming to include is actually the whole animal is going to be sanctified. Now, Amamad, the Gemara explains the first opinion, remaining Behuda, they said, no, only the limb is sanctified, not the whole animal. So they said, so what do? To machlet tzarcha eilis, you have to sell this animal, which has its leg, part of it is sanctified. So you sell it for the utility of someone that's using it for an eila. And then he takes the proceeds of the rest of the animal. Says the Gemara, but v'kamaisi behem mechuseres aver. But this person who bought it as an eila is bringing an animal that's missing a limb. Because that limb, quote, is not his. It's actually fulfilling the obligation of the seller that it's being sacrificed. Because that limb, he already designated as an eila. So it comes to the one who's buying didn't buy a full korban oila, and he vowed to sacrifice an animal that's an oila for his obligation. He's not bringing a whole animal. He's bringing it sans a leg. So Amar Rav says, we're talking about that the one who bought it had said, I'm taking upon myself to bring an oila in its life. Mean to say, to bring an animal that all the limbs that the animal's life depends on, that he's going to bring. And that he did. Because the seller only sanctified a limb that the life does not depend on, like the leg below the knee. Because actually, if he would have sanctified something that actually the life depends on, then actually the sanctity would have spread throughout the whole body, as the Gemara said in Amav, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees by something that makes the animal into a trefa. That if he sanctifies a limb that would make it a trefa, it would be taken away. That even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it would spread throughout. So obviously, we're talking about that it was a limb that's not throughout, and therefore, and that's what the Gemara is going to say in the next lines, this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, that therefore, the one who said, I'm going to bring it whatever the life depends on, is bringing that. Because the leg below the knee is not that. Now, actually, another version, as we've been having in the previous daffin regarding this Lishna Achrina that's from the Yerushalmi, Rashi actually brings another text, which says, but the same type of a question, just in Jerusalemite lexicon, but v'hamaisa behema, but the person bringing the animal, the makdish gufa, that he sanctified the body, ki lesa kula today, but not all of it is his. In other words, like Rashi explains, that the lekeach is bringing the animal that the body's not his. And the Yerushalmi answers, similar type of answer, kagain to Amar, it's talking where, for example, the buyer had said, kizuzu min hada behema la'ila. He says, like, a zuz worth of this animal will be an ayla. In other words, he only promised, he only took a vow that he's going to bring a zuz worth of an animal for an oila, and he bought a zuz worth, and therefore he fulfilled his obligation because he didn't take a vow to bring a complete oila. Somewhat type of an answer. Now, Amar Rav Chizdi qualifies the first opinion of this braisa, that Moedu Behuda. Behuda agrees, although he says that only the limb becomes sanctified, not the whole animal, he will agree that the whole animal becomes sanctified. B'davash ha'isa isa trefa, like we just mentioned that idea before, that something that if that limb was missing would make the animal into a trefa. So then, if someone sanctifies that limb, then the whole animal can't sanctify. Rav Amar, he says, "Bedavash eisa eisa nevela." No, specifically, somebody would make the animal into a carcass. For example, let's say if the thigh and its cavity of the going into the body would be missing, So that's what, if he sanctified that part, would make the whole animal sanctified. Because in contrast, if it's only something that makes the animal into have a mortal defect, like for example, above the knee by the leg, actually he doesn't agree that Rebbe would hold, as Gemara is going to shortly explain, that that would make that the kedusha being mispasha in the whole body of the animal. Third opinion, Rav Sheshar, somebody says, no, but davashi mesa, only something that the animal would die, that's something that would, if one sanctified that part, would spread the sanctity throughout the whole body, even according to Behuda. So now the Gemara goes through to explain the three opinions. Ma'ike bein Rav Chizl l'Rav. What's the difference if somebody makes it into a trefo or makes it into a nevela? Says the Gemara, ike bein ari trefo chayer. The difference between them is, do we hold that an animal with a mortal defect could live or not? Rav Chizda sabal kamandama trefa and chayer. Rav Chizda held like the ones who say that an animal, something with a mortal defect, cannot live, which is a machlekes in chulin daf membezim and alf. So therefore, since it cannot survive, so he has sanctified something that the neshama of the animal, the soul, depends on. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's like the whole animal was sanctified. Whereas Rava sabal kamandama trefa chayer. Rava held like those who say that no, a trefa could survive, and therefore he hasn't sanctified something that the neshama depends on, and therefore it's only that part that's sanctified. Says the Gemara, Umayka bein Rava l'Rav Sheshar. What's the difference between Rava, who says it has to be something that makes it into nevela, and Rav Sheshar, who says that it's going to die? Generally, a nevela is something that dies. Says the Gemara, Ikka bein Ayid, Rav Elazar. The difference between them is the halacha of Rav Elazar. Because the Amr Rav Elazar, he said, Nitla yerech v'chal shala. If the thigh, the leg of the animal was taken out with its cavity, meaning what goes into the cavity of the main body of the animal, if that was taken away, nevela, meaning to say that actually even though the animal is alive, it will transmit tumma like a nevela because it's like it's dead and it's like it's not alive. Now, it's regarding that halacha that Rav Asav like Rav Elazar, he like Rav Elazar. So therefore, if someone sanctifies the thigh and its cavity, so that essentially, in like Rav Elazar's halacha, is like davash haneshama tluy bar. So then the sanctity spreads throughout. Whereas Rav Sheshar lays up like Rav Elazar, he doesn't hold like Rav Elazar, and therefore, in other words, it's considered that the animal could still live, and therefore, since it could still live, it's not davash haneshama tluy bar, and therefore, the whole animal would not be sanctified unless the animal is actually would die. Then that's something that he said Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Which the Gemara in the first paragraph of Chulin explains what does it mean taking out chol shalah? It means to say that if the animal would crouch, you would see that gap that's missing inside the animal. That's this case of nitla yerech b'chol shalah. Now, actually, Meisav, the Gemara asks on all of them from the following brisa. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, regarding this machlekes of this brisa we quote on the top of this amid, he says as follows, somewhere in the middle. It says, Nirin de Rebbe Yehuda, would appear the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, who says that only the limb becomes sanctified, not the whole animal, but davash in a shamat luyiboy, regarding if it's a limb that the whole life of the animal does not depend on. V'div Rebbe Yehuda, and it would appear the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, to say that the whole animal becomes sanctified, if it was bedavash in a shamat luyiboy, if he sanctified a limb that the whole animal's life does depend on. Says the Gemara, Lav Machlal, the Polyglot Rebbe Yehuda. Isn't that inferring that obviously that the Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yisi disagrees in those cases, that Rebbe says, oh, I would say him by that and him by that, as the Gemara explains. Bishlam and Nirin de Rebbe Yehuda bedavash and Hashem etluyi, but we understand when Rebbe was saying, it would appear the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda that only that limb becomes sanctified when it's a limb that the body does not depend on, the whole life doesn't depend on. Now, Machlal de Polyg, and the Gemara takes out the Dalit over here. Machlal de Polyg le Rebbe Yisi. So the inference is, okay, the Rebbe Yisi disagrees. And that is, Rebbe Yisi holds that no, even if it's the leg beneath the knee, the whole animal becomes sanctified. Ela, Nirin de Rebbe Yisi, bedavash and Hashem etluyi, but then when Rebbe says that it would appear the opinion of Rebbe Yisi that the whole animal will become sanctified. If he sanctified a part of the body that the soul depends on, lav mechlal, isn't the inference that here also, the pal galel, Rebbe Yehuda, the Rebbe Yehuda disagrees in that case too. That is betuf to dikulis, that refutes all of them. We see even davash haneshama tluyi bay, they were saying, one was saying that if it's a trefa, one was saying a nevela, one was saying mesa, but they all agreed, the question just was, what was the principle of davash haneshama tluyi bay? Here we see, no, that Rebbe saying, I would say like Rebbe Yehuda in that case, but the inference is that Rebbe disagrees even davash haneshama tluyi bay, that the sanctity does not spread throughout the animal. So it's like, well, I know. Everyone agrees, even Rebbe Yehuda agrees, davash haneshama tluyi bay. Chasuri mechzer v'achetani, there's words missing here in this price, and this is the way it's supposed to say. Nirin divri Rebbe Yehuda le Rebbe Yehuda. Those are the words I'm missing. Not that Rebbe was saying, oh, I say like Rebbe Yehuda and not like Rebbe Yehuda in that case. No, it would appear the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda to Rebbe Yehuda himself, bedavash haneshama tluyi bay, when it's something, a limb that the life of the animal depends on. Why? Because even Rebbe Yehuda doesn't disagree, only by a limb that the life does not depend on. But something that the life depends on, he agrees, and that was the Machlekes Amaram. What does that mean? Is that trefa? Is it nevela? Is that mesa? And therefore, it's not difficult in their opinions. Continuing on this theme, Bayi Rava, he says, Ba'if Mahu, what's halacha regarding a bird? Which Rashi explains the question, that it's going according to Reb Yesi, who he generally holds that if you sanctify one limb, it spreads throughout the whole animal. So the question was, if someone sanctifies the leg of a bird, like there's some bird kabanas, a turtle dove, a pigeon, the question is, does the sanctity spread throughout the whole bird or not? What's the question? Because on the one hand, Behemam Rahmana, that pasuk that says Mikol HaShe'itim Mimenu, where we expounded that halacha that it spreads throughout the whole animal, it says Behema. V'hola Behema, it's not an animal. Oidilma maybe, no, but carbon Rahmana, that same pasuk also says carbon. V'hainami carbon, it's a carbon. So maybe it will have the halacha of spreading throughout. So the more take a let it stand, it's not clear what the halacha is by a bird. Bayi Rava, another related question. Hikdash Ivr L'damav. So let's say he sanctified just one limb, but not for physical sanctity. He sanctified it for its monetary sanctity, which is that its utility will then be used to purchase when you sell it for something relating to kachah. So ma'u d'teches le'kedushas haguf, what's the halacha? Does the sanctity take effect in a physical way for the entire animal and actually will sacrifice that animal that he only sanctified one limb monetarily, will sacrifice that whole animal for a carbon idol? As the Gemara explains the question. Mi amar, do we say according to Reb Yesi? Now the Girsa takes out the next line, goes to the next line, and like it says, because that's how the logic, according to the way Rashi says it, would dictate. Mid the akdashe, do we say? Mid the akdashe lechad aver, akdashe lekula. So let's start from the beginning. Like Reb Yesi always said, when you sanctify one limb, so the whole body becomes sanctified. Okay, but that's monetarily. But then now going back to the line that we skipped, now kivin the nachs lekedushas damim, but now that the animal now took effect a monetary sanctity in the whole animal. So now nachzid le'namik kedushas aguv. So now also, now, since it has a monetary sanctity in the whole animal, so actually now a physical sanctity would take effect, because since this animal itself is fit to be brought as a carbon oila, so why would I sell it and then use its money to buy a carbon oila? No, most definitely, since it's valid itself, because it's an unblemished animal, we would then go ahead and bring that whole animal, and it would have now a physical sanctity. That's the Gemara's question on the one hand. Aydemo, maybe that, no. Chad migu amri. One migu, we say, since one limb is sanctified, so then we say the whole thing is sanctified. But tre migu loyama, but we don't say two miguis. First of all, this animal was only sanctified for its one limb monetarily. And now we're going to have to say two miguis. We're going to have to say, since it took effect on one limb, oh, so then we say it takes effect on the whole body monetarily. And then you have a second migu. And since now it has, the whole animal has a sanctity monetarily, so then we say, oh, then it's going to take effect in a physical sanctity. Maybe we don't say that. That's the question the Gemara has. So the Gemara asks on Rava, who is asking the question, Tifshalei Medidei. What do you mean? Rava should have resolved his question from his own teaching himself that most definitely a physical sanctity takes effect on this animal that has a monetary sanctity. Because the Amar Rava said the following halacha. Hikdash Zachar. Someone sanctifies a male, a ram that's a male animal. Now, the reason why Rava picks specifically a male is because he's speaking about a case that it's a carbon oila. Now, a female animal is not fit to be brought as a carbon oila, and therefore you can't say what she's going to extend to say that even though he made it monetarily, that should have a physical sanctity, because that would only be appropriate for a male animal. So he sanctified a male animal, ledamav, monetarily, meaning to bring from its proceeds to buy with those proceeds a carbon oila. Says Rabbah, Kaddish Kaddish says a guf. It actually, although he made it monetarily, it will have a physical sanctity, and he cannot sell it, because since this animal itself is fit to be brought as a carbon oila, so therefore he has to bring it itself as a carbon oila. So says the Gemara here too. Since according to Reb Yesi, we know his halacha that says that once it takes effect on one limb, it takes effect on the whole body, so now this animal has a sanctity on the whole body monetarily, so that's Rabbah's halacha. Once it has a monetary sanctity, it's going to take effect a physical sanctity too. The Gemara says no, and this was, as we had explained the question, Hasam the Akdashe Lukuli. That halacha of Rava was when someone had sanctified the whole body monetarily, so then there would only be one miga to say and extend it to say, okay, now it's going to have a physical sanctity. But Hocha the Akdashe Chad Aver, he only sanctified one limb, my, what would the halacha be? That would require two migas. Maybe that wouldn't say that even though now has a full monetary sanctity, there would be a physical sanctity. So you want to take a look at it, it's not clear what the halacha would be in that case. Another related question. Here the Girsa says that it's Boimene Abaye Mi Rabba. It's Abaye asking from Rabba, and they're going in the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who says that actually only that limb remains sanctified, asking the following question. So Hikdash Chad Aver. So the person sanctified only one limb, and only that one limb is sanctified. Mahu Begiza, what's the halacha regarding the rest of the animal? Could you shear the wool of this animal? Now, the question was not regarding the other halacha that we know always go together, Giza Vaveda, to work. Obviously, you can't work at the animal because that would be weakening that one limb which is sanctified. And you can't do work with that limb. Question is regarding, can you shear the wool? So says the on that says Rabba, Tishalach Mahaditanya. You should resolve it from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, quoting a pasuk in Devarim, Leisagis Bachar Tzinecha, you can't share the wool of your firstborn of your flock. So it says yours. Avlata Geizis Bishalcha Veshalachem, but you could share the wool of an animal that's yours and others, meaning that shared with you and a non-Jew. In other words, if a person has a firstborn animal in a partnership with a non-Jew, he's allowed to share the wool, although half of it is his. So here too, since you have Chulin and Hektish that are partners in this one animal because only one of them is sanctified, she sees permitted to share the wool. There's no prohibition about sharing. Says the Gemara, no, Hasim over there by that firstborn animal, Loinachsele Kedusha Klal. That animal has no sanctity whatsoever, even for the portion of the Jew, because the partnership of a non-Jew exempts the whole animal from Bechayr. So of course you could share, because you could even share his part. Hacha Nachsele Kedusha. But here, that limb does have sanctity. Maybe that would make it a problem, even on the rest of the animal. Or Lishnachu, in another version, says the answer that Hasim in Beyodel Kedusha. There, that Jew doesn't have an ability to sanctify that animal because a non-Jew has a partnership with him and he's limited. Here, the whole animal is owned by him, so although he only sanctified one limb, but he could sanctify the whole thing, maybe there would be a problem by Giza, and therefore it's not resolved from over there. Another question, Boyim in the Abayin, the Gir says, Miraba, Hektish Oira. Someone sanctified just the skin, the hide of an animal. Mahu ba'avayda. What's Allah regarding working with the animal? Now, here the question was not regarding shearing the wool, because obviously that it's not going to weaken the skin at all, and so there's no problem about taking the wool. He only sanctified the hide. The question was regarding doing work, which is going to weaken the hide. That was the question, are you allowed to do work? So it says the Gemara Tashma Tzminga Raya. It says Rabba, it says in the Braisa Omer, Mashab Me'eha Shalzu Ayla, and we had taught this Braisa previously. If someone says that whatever is in the womb of this animal should be an Ayla, so muteres begiza, we learned that type of concept, someone sanctifies like that. So says the Braisa, muteres begiza, it's permitted to shear the wool of this animal, of the mother animal, but vasur bavaydib, it's forbidden to work with the mother animal, nekachosh ubrishaba, because it's going to be weakening the fetus that's inside of it. So therefore you can't do work with the mother because of the fetus inside. So says Rabbi here also, that it's going to be weakening the hide. When you're doing work with the animal, the hide gets affected. And therefore, you see that it's prohibited to do work. That Amalei, Abaye said to him, no, Kikitani Asur Ba'Vaida, when did that Braisa say it's forbidden to do work with it because of how it's going to negatively affect the fetus? That's Midrabbana. My question was biblically, and the difference between rabbinically and biblically is to get lashes. So therefore, there's no Raya from over there. Maybe that actually, I want to know, here regarding the hide, I want to know, is it even going to be Asur Ba'Vaida to get lashes? So on that says Rabbi Hachi, if that's the case, then you're saying that it's only rabbinically, so then Afil Begiza Nami Titzer. So if it's actually not problematic, it's just rabbinically, so then why do they only make the work forbidden and not the sharing of the wool? That Amalei, Abaye said to him, no, Avoided the Mikhesha, and the girl says, Vlad, when you're doing work, that weakens the fetus, so Gaza Barabban. So Rabban made a decree over there that although you're not doing work with the fetus itself, but it's negatively affecting it, that was sanctified. But Gizel goes to Rabban, but sharing the wool, which doesn't negatively affect it, then the rabbis didn't make such a decree. But again, that's talking about rabbinically, and therefore you can't resolve it from over there. So although it's forbidden, that's rabbinically. I want to know, is doing work with the hide, with the animals, that it's going to negatively affect the hide, is that going to be a biblical prohibition about doing work with something that's kachim to get lashes? That's not resolved. Similar type of discussion regarding this with the mother and the fetus. He shlamim. If the mother is a shlamim, uvlad the chulin, and the child, the fetus, is chulin. For example, let's say someone sanctifies a pregnant animal, but he says, I'm sanctifying besides the fetus. Where according to everyone, then the fetus is not going to be sanctified. So the fetus is a chulin. And then he slaughters the mother, which is a shlamim, slaughters in the azara. Ma, what would the halacha be? And similarly, the Gemara asks a similar type of a question. Someone sanctifies an animal and then subsequently becomes pregnant. And this question is, Lamandam of Vladi Kachim of Yasin Hin Kadayishim, according to the opinion that says that the children of a Kachim, they only become sanctified when they become in existence, when they become born. So now here also, that the fetus, when it's in the womb, is not sanctified. And then someone goes and slaughters the mother inside in the Azara. So the question is, Mihava, is the child going to be Chulin Ba'Azara, a violation of slaughtering Chulin in the courtyard? Because here, essentially, the mother slaughtering works for the child. So it's like you're slaughtering the child. And therefore, the person would be liable because he didn't sanctify the fetus. It's considered Chulin. And even when it's a Vlad Kachim, it's only sanctified when it comes out to the world, not when it's in the womb. So would it be liable for Shechitas Chulin Ba'Azara? Allah, maybe it wouldn't be liable. So that, as we continue to be Bezim and Af, Amalei said to him, What? Mi Karina Bey, would we recite regarding what you tried to describe as problematic slaughtering the pasuk in Devarim that says Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom hazavachta, if the place is going to be far from you and you're going to slaughter, which from that pasuk we learn now that it's forbidden to slaughter chulin de'azar, because we expound that, yeah, when you're rachik min hamakom, where do you slaughter your chulin? When you're far from the Beis HaMikdash, but you cannot slaughter your chulin in a place that's close, meaning in the azar, as the Gemara explains in the second parak in Kedushin. So that's what he's saying over here. Do you think he would say this idea? What do you mean? But you cannot slaughter this animal anywhere but the Azara, because the mother is a Shlamim. So you can't say that, oh, this is supposed to be Rachik min HaMakom. No, it has to be slaughtered inside. And therefore, though the fetus is a Chulin, it's not going to be a problem about that you should really be far. No, you shouldn't be. You should be right here, because the mother is a Shlamim, and therefore it's not going to be a violation of this Halacha. Similarly, the Gemara asks in the reverse. Bayim the Abayim Rav Yosef. He Chulin v'lo d'Shlam. The mother is Chulin, but the fetus is a Shlam. According to the one who says, like Rav Yechonon, that the sanctity could take effect directly on the fetus. So the fetus is a shlam, but the mother is a chul. Vishchata, and then he slaughters the mother b'chutz, because it's a chul, an animal, he slaughters it out of the azar. Ma, what's the halacha? Mi mechayev Allah, is he going to be liable karis for violating on the fetus, which is sanctified, mishum shchutei chutz, because he's slaughtering it outside the azar, or not? And here too, Amalei, he says, mi karina be, do we recite regarding it the pasuk v'vim la'Hashem, that you should bring it to Hashem, which is regarding the violation of shchutei chutz, that you're not allowed to slaughter something out of the azar? It says, no, you should bring it to Hashem. Where, no, there's not going to be liability here because of shchutei chutz, because that's only by those which are fit to be brought as a carbon. Here, this fetus is not fit right now to be brought as a carbon. And therefore, there's no obligation of the Yilah Hashem, and the mother itself is chul, and therefore, by slaughtering it outside, although you're permitting the child, it's not a violation of shchita b'chutz. Another version that says the same idea. Omale, he said to him, it's only something that's fit to be brought to the entry of the oil mayid, and instead you're slaughtering it outside, that's when someone's liable for shchutei chutz. But as the Shita adds on the word, something that's not fit for the entry of the Almighty, like here, that it's still a fetus, so then in Chayav L'Machutz, there's no liability for doing it outside, and there is not going to be a violation of Shchut B'Chutz, in this case, when the fetus is sanctified, but the mother is Chulin.